Now please turn with me in your Bibles to the passage that I read a little earlier, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, a passage that very clearly speaks about the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. There was in the first century in the Greek city of Corinth a church, and there were some members of that church who believed that the human body doesn't experience resurrection. They believed that a person dies and they're buried and that's the end of it. They did not believe that a human body experiences resurrection, that a human body can come out of the grave with a new body, an indestructible body, an eternal body. I guess they were influenced by Greek philosophy and Greek culture. And so this passage was written to correct them. And the writer of this passage, the Apostle Paul, brings to them a very clear logic. He says to them, essentially, founding assumption behind this passage is that Jesus Christ was fully human. He was as human as you and I are human. And so he says to these people in Corinth, he says, now look, if you say that the human body doesn't experience resurrection, do you realize what you are saying? You are saying that the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't raised from the dead, because he was fully human. And if there is a law in nature that the human body doesn't experience resurrection, then Jesus Christ, who was fully human, died and didn't experience a resurrection. Do you realize that's what you are saying? And do you realize that if you deny the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're denying the Christian faith? Because there are some doctrines of the Christian faith which are absolutely essential. And if we deny those essential doctrines of the Christian faith, we're either unbelievers or heretics. We cannot have Christianity where some of the essential foundational doctrines are missing, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is a foundational doctrine. All who are Bible Christians, all who are born again and believe the Bible to be the Word of God and are saved through faith in Jesus Christ, must believe that the tomb in which the body of the Lord Jesus Christ was laid is empty, that Jesus Christ rose physically from the dead. We don't believe in some kind of spiritual resurrection or some emotional thing or something like that. We believe that the Lord Jesus Christ bodily came back to life, and he was given a resurrection body, and he ascended into heaven with a resurrection body, and he today sits at the right hand of the Father in his resurrection body. Jesus Christ rose from the dead bodily. It's a foundational doctrine of the Christian faith. Now this morning I want to ask a simple question. Why? Why is it that we must believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? Why is it that it is a foundational doctrine? What difference does it make to me as a Christian if Jesus didn't rise from the dead? So I want to ask this question this morning. Why is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ such an important event, such an important doctrine? Now there are many, many answers, but I've chosen three of the most important answers to this question. Why is the resurrection so important? And the first answer is this. Christ's resurrection means our sins are truly forgiven. Christ's resurrection means our sins are truly forgiven. Paul in this passage says something which I think a lot of Christians find rather difficult to understand. Will you look at verse 17 of this passage and notice what he says in verse 17. He says there, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, you are still in your sins. If Christ has not been raised, Your faith in Jesus Christ is futile, it's empty, it's worthless. You have no forgiveness of sins. Your sins are still upon you. You are still in your sins. Now why? I thought that when Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, he took my sins upon him. I thought that when Jesus died on the cross, he paid the penalty for my sins. I thought that he dealt with my guilt when he died upon the cross. Surely it's the cross that brings salvation to me. Why bring in the resurrection? And why make this statement that if Jesus Christ didn't rise from the dead, I'm still in my sins. My sins are not forgiven. I don't go to heaven. I'm still guilty. I'm still under condemnation. Why? Well, I want to explain this. This is something I've done before from this pulpit. I want to explain this by using the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, there was a place called the Holy of Holies. And once a year, the priest, the high priest, would take a goat and slaughter it. And he would take its blood. And he would go into the Holy of Holies. This was called the Day of Atonement. He would go into the Holy of Holies and he would sprinkle the blood of the animal on the place that he entered into, the Holy of Holies, particularly the Ark of the Covenant. Now, as he entered that place, the people of Israel who'd all gathered together, because that was the command, on this day, the Day of Atonement, you all gather together around the Tent of Meeting. As the high priest entered the Holy of Holies with the blood of an animal, they, in a sense, held their breath. Because if there was anything wrong with that animal that he had killed, if there was some kind of defect, the high priest would not come out alive. He would die in the most holy place. Two of Aaron's sons died in this way. They offered strange fire, unauthorized worship, and they were struck dead and had to be brought out dead. So the people of Israel, when the high priest entered the Holy of Holies, wait with bated breath. And a few minutes later, the high priest comes out again, and there is a sigh of relief. God has accepted the sacrifice that the high priest has offered in our place. Now, in the New Testament book of Hebrews, the writer to the Hebrews tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ entered the Holy of Holies. Not the one on earth made with human hands, not the type, but the real Holy of Holies in heaven. And the New Testament tells us that he entered the Holy of Holies not with the blood of animals, but with his own blood. And he offered his own blood as a sacrifice for his people. He shed his blood on that cross, and he offers that blood to God the Father as payment for our sins. How do I know that God the Father has accepted his offer? How do I know that Christ's sacrifice was a perfect sacrifice, an acceptable sacrifice? How do I know that God the Father has accepted Christ as my substitute? Because just as the high priest in the Old Testament came out of the Holy of Holies alive, so my Savior and your Savior was raised again on the third day as vindication that God the Father has accepted his sacrifice on our behalf. Do you see now why in this passage the Apostle Paul says, if Christ did not rise from the dead, your faith is futile, you are still in your sins? Because Paul is saying, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, What has happened is Jesus did die on the cross. Jesus did shed his blood. Jesus did go into the holy place, the most holy place, with his blood. But there was some defect in his offering. There was some problem. And so the Father did not accept his offering. And the Father therefore did not raise him from the dead. The offering that he made has not been acceptable. You are still in your sins. But do you see why today we celebrate the risen Jesus? Why we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because he offered his blood as a sacrifice for my sins. And God the Father accepted that sacrifice. God the Father was pleased with the sacrifice that his Son has offered in my place. My sins have been forgiven. My guilt has been cleared. My conscience has been sprinkled with the blood of Jesus. It has been cleansed. I'm no longer under condemnation. I'm no longer a sinner. I'm no longer alienated from God and distant from Him. I'm no longer an enemy of God. I'm no longer a sinner sold to slavery, to sin. But I'm now redeemed. I'm now forgiven. I'm now reconciled to God. I'm now brought into the presence of God. I've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, because the offering that Jesus made on my behalf, on your behalf, was accepted by the Father. Our sins have been dealt with by the Lord Jesus Christ, and the resurrection is the proof of it. Rejoice in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ today, because you, if you have believed in the Lord Jesus, if you are born again and you've trusted in Him, your place in heaven is guaranteed. You will never be lost. God will never bring up your sins. On the day of judgment, God will never open a book and say, there were some sins you did and they've not been dealt with, they are still here. That will never happen. All our sins were laid upon Him, and He paid the penalty for all our sins. He offered His blood as a sacrifice for all our sins, and God the Father has accepted that sacrifice. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is proof of that. So do you see why the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is such an important doctrine? And why Easter Sunday is a joyful day? Because the resurrection of Jesus Christ tells me that my sins, and it tells you if you're a believer this morning, your sins are truly forgiven. Have you received Christ? Have you believed in Him? Have you trusted Him for your salvation? If you have, today of all days, you have every reason to say, Hallelujah, my Savior lives. And because He rose from the dead, my sins are forgiven. My guilt is gone. My place in heaven is guaranteed, because my Savior has risen from the dead. And if you've never believed, why not today, Easter Sunday, when we mark the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, why not today cry out to Him? Why not, even as you sit in your seat, say to Him, Lord Jesus, have mercy upon me, a sinner. And you can be brought out of death into life on Easter Sunday. What a day to be saved. Why not today cry out to Christ and ask Him to save you? So the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is important, because it means our sins truly are forgiven. A second reason why the resurrection is so important: Christ's resurrection means we have a compassionate high priest in heaven. Do you know, friends, I think this is one of those things we don't often think about, and yet we ought to give every hour of every day thinking about this. That my Lord Jesus Christ, who is seated at the right hand of the Father, as my great high priest, He is my intercessor and my friend. He is praying for me. He's watching over me. And the most wonderful thing about this, I find this such a moving thing, that the Lord Jesus Christ, who is seated at the right hand of the Father, is the one who lived here on earth for 33 years. He is the one who was tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with us. but one who was tempted in every way just as we are, and is therefore able to give grace and help in time of need. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace. You see what the writer to the Hebrews is saying in that passage? He's saying, think of your Savior, your High Priest, who is seated at the right hand of the Father. He is not some remote, distant, uncaring Savior. You know how sometimes you have a real problem in life? Perhaps a health problem, perhaps a financial problem. And you go to talk to somebody. And you say, look, I know I'm a bit of a pain, but actually I've got a problem and I just want to talk to you. And as you talk, you read the body language. And it's obvious the person couldn't care less. You're an inconvenience. They don't really care, but they're being polite. They can't say to you, actually, I'm busy. I don't want to listen to your problems. They're being too polite. But really, they don't care. Or other times you go to talk to somebody. And yes, they want to listen, but as you share your problems, you find actually they can't relate to you. They can't enter into your situation. They can't empathize. You know what I mean? They really want to try and help, but they just cannot see your issues. They just cannot enter into it. I want to say this to you. If you're a Christian here this morning, you have a high priest seated at the right hand of the Father, who has been through every experience that you go through, who knows what it's like to live on this earth and to have all the experiences that life throws at us. This is what the writer to the Hebrews means when he says he was tempted in every way just as we are, yet without sin. Now, I don't understand how that can be, but the Bible says it and I believe it. And I want to say this to you. Whatever issue you have, whatever problem, whatever difficulty, whatever anxiety, stress, worry that you have today, you have a Savior seated at the right hand of the Father who understands. You go to Him in prayer and He says, I know what that feels like. I've been there. I'm not just talking as somebody who has theoretical knowledge of these things. I have been there. I've experienced these things. I know how it feels to have that particular health issue. I know how it feels to have that financial problem. I know how it feels to have that family anxiety. I know what you're going through. This is the wonder of having our Savior seated at the right hand of the Father. And I want you to remember what the writer to the Hebrews says to his readers. He says, we can go to Him in time of need and we will find grace and help. You know, it's wonderful to have a friend who sympathizes, wonderful to have a friend who says, I think I understand. But then that friend may not actually be able to do anything. Yes, they can sympathize, and yes, they can put their arm around us, and they can, I know exactly what you feel, but they can't actually do anything. But our Savior is Lord. Our Savior is God. Our Savior has all authority in heaven and on earth. Do you remember those words that the risen Savior spoke in Matthew 28? All authority. Now we throw out these words like all and everything and so on, and we don't really mean them. Of course, He means every word of it. When He says all authority, He means all authority. He means all authority in heaven, all authority on earth has been given to Him. He is sovereign. He is Lord. He is able to do something. He may not answer our prayers in the way that we want them answered or in the time that we want them answered, but we may be sure of this. He has heard every prayer we have uttered and He is on the case because He is our loving, sympathetic, compassionate, merciful, gracious High Priest. The heart of Christ in heaven is filled with love and mercy and grace and compassion towards His people. He loves us. He sympathizes with us. He comes alongside us. He ministers to us. He hears our prayers. and he ministers grace and help in time of need. What a wonderful thing it is to have a risen Savior who has lived on this earth and experienced life on this earth. Today, the Lord of heaven, the Lord of glory, to help us in our time of need. Why is the resurrection such an important doctrine? Well, his resurrection means our sins are truly forgiven. His resurrection means we have a compassionate high priest in heaven. And then the third reason, his resurrection means we also will be resurrected. His resurrection means we also will be resurrected. In this passage, the Apostle Paul writes about the order of things. He says in verse 23, but each in his own order, Christ the first fruits. Then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. You see, he's speaking about our resurrection. This is what he's saying from verse 20 onwards. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, that man is Adam, so by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. If you're anything like me, as you grow older, you begin to realize, and some of my members are very fond of saying this, you begin to realize that old age doesn't come by itself. And you begin to realize that our bodies are fallible, and our bodies are weak, and our bodies are subject to deterioration. And so eyesight begins to go. My children keep telling me, Dad, get a hearing test, because hearing goes. And I can't walk as much as I used to, and cycle as much as I used to, and run as much as I used to. Our bodies are beginning to go. And this concerns us. Of course it concerns us. Because we want to serve our Lord. We want to worship Him. And we want to be a testimony to Him. And we want to be His people. And we want to enjoy our Lord. We want to enjoy His creation. We want to enjoy fellowship with Him. We want to enjoy fellowship with His people. There is so much for us to be blessed with. And there is so much for us to do. And our bodies grow older. You young ones here, sorry to depress you, but you won't be young forever. You will grow older. And one day you will know what I'm saying if you remember this sermon. You will remember, there was a day a guy was telling me, I will get old. We all get old. Sorry to say this, but we do. But there is a wonderful hope for all of us. We will all one day have a resurrection body. That resurrection body is sown perishable. It will be raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It will be raised in glory. It is sown a fleshly body. It will be raised a spiritual body. Now that doesn't mean it won't be flesh and blood. What it means that we will be totally and completely spiritually minded. And we will be in heaven with our Lord Jesus Christ in a resurrection body. That body will never grow old. It will never deteriorate. Our eyesight won't fail. Our hearing won't fail. My children will be happy to hear that. And we won't grow old and weak. But we will love our Lord Jesus Christ in eternity, in resurrection bodies. We will serve Him in eternity, in resurrection bodies. We will enjoy fellowship with Him. The joy of the Lord will be our portion and our strength in eternity. No hindrance from sin. No interference from anything. Perfect fellowship. Perfect joy. Perfect love for our Savior and from our Savior. It's a glorious prospect. We don't think of heaven as often as we should. I often say this from this pulpit. What is the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian? Well, a non-Christian's life is shaped and determined by his past. A Christian's life is shaped and determined by the future. We have a hope in heaven, and that hope in heaven shapes our lives, determines the direction of our lives. It's not the past that determines and shapes our lives. It's our future. We are going to heaven. We're going to have a resurrection body. We're going to have fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to know His love perfectly, without any hindrance from sin, without any kind of difficulty. We will know His love for us, and His love for us will thrill our hearts. It'll raise our hearts in ecstasy and joy as we enjoy Him and enjoy His love. And we will return love to Him without any hindrance from sin, without any difficulty. We will just love Him more and more, and we will grow in our love for Him, and we will know Him more, because we will have a resurrection body. Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits. And so we have a glorious hope of heaven. Friends, this is hugely important. Think much about your risen Savior. Think about the blessings that He has brought you. Think about the joy that He guarantees because He did rise from the dead. And give thanks to God for your risen Savior. And if you've never known His love for you, His grace, His salvation, as I say, why not today, Easter Sunday, why not today ask the Lord Jesus to bring you out of death into His marvelous light and be saved from your sin? Praise God for our risen Savior.